patriots. You know, we live in a time right now where so much of what we're witnessing is a time of a living by the God of me. The obsession with the false fears and the threat to life perceived by the many that somehow they have control or they can solve this problem, totally outside of the faith in God. It's so profound, in fact, right now, that in the New York Times today, they've declared in a headline that white evangelical resistance is obstacle in vaccination effort. So I guess if you're a person of color, you're not a threat, even though you're not going to take the vaccine. But if you're white, and I guess that means that all Christians are white, that all Christians are white threats, and they're all evangelical threats to the global effort of saving the world by an injection that's still in a experimental phase in stage 3 trials. So on one hand, it's time to rejoice, because that is exactly, if it's worth a New York slime headline, then that means that there's obviously a global concern by the globalists that their agenda isn't working, and it's not. But one of the things that we have to really look at, in fairness to all of this, is not to take on the weight of those that are taking the injection, and not to take on the weight of worrying how many will get injected. That's God's realm, not ours. Our realm is loving thy neighbor and informing and educating people with knowledge, giving voice to the innocent and helping those in need. It isn't to carry the weight of who is and who is not going to get the injection. If there's anything we should all be fully aware of at this point in time, is that God is moving in a profound way. And God is moving in such a profound way as to rely and use his children in a blessed way to bring forth the love and the knowledge necessary that as he moves and takes care of the other problems, we are that instrument of light. We are the ones in the world showing the light, becoming the lanterns for the many to seek and to come to. That's a really amazing place to sit, but it's a place that requires that we absolutely have to trust in God. If you deviate from that trust and you begin to doubt God, or you begin to think that God's some sort of like Sunday event that you go to and sit in the pew, or you're whatever else, or you think that, you know, God is a subject of the state, the state's always going to be there, but now God's out here somewhere, but that doesn't have anything to do with my day-to-day affairs, then you have a problem. And the problem is that you've forsaken God, you've forsaken the world, and you've forsaken the fundamental issue of why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to expand God's kingdom, which is built on the principal laws of love, and not corporal love. The one word in the English language, I absolutely can't stand this word anymore when I say it. I don't like even saying the word love, because we don't have another substitute for it. We use the Greek, the agape love, and it's accurate, but it's not well understood. And thanks to years and years of the free love movement, thank you, hippie America, we have now turned love into random sex in the middle of Central Park or Woodstock. And it's just a completely, and it's the burdens that have put on that word have taken away the beauty of what it actually is. But we have to use it. So this is why when I do use it, I make sure and qualify it. We're talking about the sense of agape love, the deep appreciation of what love is. But I think it's important to consider from Scripture where we actually are. And I think there is a passage that gives us an idea of where we are really well. And that's Ezekiel 20, 33, and we'll see if we'll get as far as 49, but beginning at 33. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and an outreached arm, and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. How God comes about bringing us back together as a nation in a world, again, is not for us to speculate, only for us to trust. But the fact is that this is a war. And we're in the midst of a very heavy war right now between good and evil, light and dark. And while God always wins, there are also casualties in the war. And the thing about this particular war is this is not a war of tanks, armored personnel carriers, aerial bombs, at least not in our country yet, and let's hope it never happens that way. This is a war centered on a very instrumental gift that God gave us, and it's free will. And in free will, it's a choice between truth and lie, between following deception or following God's word, between faith and living for yourself. But free will is at the center of all things here. So in no way am I trying to be callous or perhaps disingenuous to those that are out here struggling with this issue of the injection. But the fact of the matter is that it's individuals' choice to whether to take this or not. It is not being mandated anywhere. And since it's not being mandated, it falls to the individual to decide whether they want to put it in their body or not. Obviously, from the statements of the New York Times, there's a concern by those in the global elites and not enough people are putting that injection into their body to corrupt their DNA to accept the spike proteins, which will modify the way in which your immune system works. And if the elite are lucky, that spike protein will pass through the blood-brain barrier and affects some of your higher-order functions like your ability to pray and connect with God. These aren't science fiction or tin hat theories. These are science based by people that are true scientists, meaning that they study, they research, they question, they challenge each other. But they're also, all of these scientists have one thing in common, all of them. They believe in God. All of these doctors and medical people that are out here that are leading this fight to inform the world, that one thread that binds them all, they believe in God. This is a rather profound moment in our history. It's one of the great moments in human history. And it's going to have with it its own tragedy and pain. I've said many times that I enjoy reading the Old Testament. And I do because there is a very real and very visceral reality of God's love and God's wrath in the Old Testament. There is a very big sense that within every epoch of time, there are people that don't survive. We're in a time of accountability, and with accountability comes the aspects of judgment. And how we walk in this time, what we hold our faith to, how strong we are in that walk, is on us to choose. Hopefully, each one is choosing the path to walk with God. And the closer we move to God, the greater the distance is between us and the old world that we were part of, a world that clings on very much like a bad smell in your tennis shoes. We have to hold this line and understand what our role is. We are not gods. And I say this in a very profound way, because when we start to worry about this person taking the vax, or that person, or I can't save enough people, or I can't get to enough people, no one's listening, there's a fine line between holding to God's expectation of us carrying that torch of truth, carrying that torch of love, building the bridges, and giving people the option of choosing, and then assuming that you have control over their destiny. When you've jumped to that place, you're now assuming a role as if you have godly power. You don't. Each one of us is given the power to choose our destiny. Each one of us. With the knowledge, if we have the knowledge that is given, it is up to us to decide how to use that knowledge. But unfortunately, we get into this place, and it's an obsessiveness that too often is that we need to save somebody. We don't save people. It's not our job. We offer people a glimpse into what the joy and love of God is. We offer people a way of seeing what it's like to walk in faith, to live within the body of Christ. Essentially, our works in our world demonstrate our faith for others to witness and see, and in the process, they get to make a choice. So consider the situation where we come to a person and we get into a discussion with them about the vax. And they then proceed to tell us why we need to, and so we proceed to argue back why not, why they're wrong. And we try to prove that they're wrong, or worse yet, we're trying to tell them that not only they're wrong, but some version of you're going to hell. I don't know what's happening to them. Neither do you. What I know is that when we walk in our faith with God and we ask some very fundamental questions that are questions for them to ponder, we will achieve greatness without succumbing to their trap of fighting at the level of judgment. Let me give you an example. There's only really one question to ask anybody that's taking the injection. Only one. What compels you to take an experimental gene therapy injection that's in the third stages of trials and think that it's going to protect you and save you without harm? That's it. Because in that place, you can then say, I have made the assessment that based on it being an experimental, unproven gene therapy, that I don't want to participate in this experiment or in these level 3 trials. That's all the discussion is. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to have it. It's going to be a quick over and done. most probably they're going to walk away. But there's no reason to get hostile. And there's no reason for us to start belittling or attacking in any way. At the core of the Washington, I'm sorry, the New York Slimes headline in accusing white evangelical resistance is obstacle in vaccination effort. This is a test that they're running on the public, not a vaccination effort. This is an experimental gene therapy in level 3 trials that we choose not to participate in. And it's still an experimental injection that has not been proven. We choose not to participate. That's all that is. But the persuasion efforts that are being put in play tell you that in itself there is an agenda. Which then leads to another question you can pose to somebody. It's a postulate. And it's like this. And it goes something like this. Considering that it is a level 3 trial injection that has not been approved and is still considered experimental, for you or for someone, I would just leave it very neutral, for someone to mandate or insist that someone needs to take it is against the principle of the experiment. Experiments are, by nature, a choice, and people volunteer. So you can say, I respect you for volunteering if that's what you feel you need to do for the sake of humanity. But I'm choosing not to because I don't trust what's in it. These are the sorts of questions that need to be put to people for letting them ponder, not the questions to condemn them for what they're doing. I know one thing. Everybody that takes this injection can be healed, no matter what it does to their DNA, not by science we currently have, but by God's will. And it's hard for me to imagine that in that sense, that God is willfully allowing his children to die. However, there is this certain piece of wrath. Because this is not a fight of flesh and blood. This is a fight of a spiritual nature. And those that are condemning God or walking away from God or ignoring that message and being defiant, proclaiming that they have the answer, that they will solve this problem, that there is a must to do them. They must give their allegiance to the state in the many forms. They're walking a dangerous path. There's no question. Life is not as we see it. Life is far beyond the echelons of what we can see. It is the world of the principalities that is way beyond our vision. God is moving. And in the process of all this moving is shaking out those that are defying him, denouncing him, worshiping false idols. These are powerful times for that. And it's an important time because it's only then that humanity can begin to heal and ultimately return to him. Many people don't even realize that they're worshiping false idols. They're just following or obeying. But they are. And the principal proof of that is the fact that they're complying to a directive, which is has no foundation. It's more of a threat, so that they can acquire back their natural rights that God gave us all. Our natural rights to be free, to have freedom of speech, all of those rights are God-given. They're not man-given. They're God-given. It's what we call moral law in terms of the Constitution. So there is no basis for this claim of you'll get back to normal once you take this injection. That's just pure political spin and word shenanigans is all it is. But because people are so blinded by a fear, they're not able to rationalize so much of what they're witnessing. In the coming weeks and months, the truths are going to continue to unravel. It's not a question of if. It's not some promise of it's coming. It is already here. All one has to do is look around to see what's happening on the global level to realize that the many, many efforts that are being driven by people to bring truth to light are breaking through and they are making headway. It's one of the reasons why a statement like this from the New York Slime is so important, because it's a desperate plea. It's a warning to themselves, to letting people know that we have a problem. We're not getting through to these people. They're not obeying us anymore. And no, we're not. We're not listening anymore. Because the threats are over, and we're happy to walk with the title of being white evangelical resistance. And I would assume, and I'm willing to speak with out of character here a little bit, but even out of my place, but I'm willing to bet you that everybody of color that is a believer in God is probably snickering and probably standing up and going, yep, I'll be white for today. I'll tell you what, if they said it was black evangelical resistance, I'd be standing up going, yep, I'm black today. I identify as black. Because the color makes no difference. We're all God's children. And that's the crazy part about this whole title. The only thing it's doing is refortifying our strength, because we don't see color. We see a love of God. We're not judging on race. They are. We fight for the, you know, it's funny, and this is a, this here's a topic that and not everybody's going to agree with me, so bear with me. But this is where I sit, so I'm going to give you Scott's perspective for a moment. And then if you don't like it, you can put up nasty comments or something. But we don't get too many of those. But here's the deal. There's a difference, and I'm going back to this white evangelical resistance. If someone said that it was gay evangelical resistance, transgender evangelical resistance, I'd still be laughing. I'd be like, you know what? Today I think I'll be gay just because I love God. My point is this. When we talk about those topics, like the left is always trying to push the transgender problem, like it's a, this comes from somebody I talked to today, it was a brilliant comment. They're like, yeah, the left pushes transgender like you take a Tylenol. They basically try to tell people, like, if you become transgender, you can solve all your problems. Oh, you're depressed? Well, maybe you need to flip your gender. Oh, you got a headache today? How about if we snip and tuck you? Oh, you've got athlete's foot. I've got a solution. We'll just change your sex. This is how the left is about transgenderism. Because it's an agenda. And I will always speak out against those Mengele doctors that are pushing this nonsense. And their cohorts that are working in the psychology realms that are trying to convince people that that's their damn problem, because it's not true. We're born in a biological situation. We are either man or woman when we're born. We're not confused. But here's what we inherit, and we have to be careful with this. And this is kind of a sidebar to everything I've been talking about tonight, but it's important that we appreciate this. I've talked to many that are transgender, that are Christian. They're turning to God for their salvation. That is not for me to judge. Okay? Any more than the person that has taken the injection that turns back to God and says, I need to turn to God for salvation. That isn't for me to judge that they took the injection. My role in this world is to be the lantern and light that leads somebody back to God. From there, that relationship that they have, that accountability in their life is between them and God. It is not for me to judge it. It's only for me actually to commend it if they decide to come back to God. That's our role. When I'm out, when I, like on the Spiff Report, I beat the heck out of the transgender movement. And I do because it's a sick damn movement. Most of them, every time we turn around in the news, somebody's up here being a pedophile, which means that these are just people hiding under a title. And we don't need another 15 alphabet soup trying to tell us what gender somebody can be or what horrors they can do in the name of being free and living for themselves. Because God's laws, that is so far outside of God's laws, it's incredible. But as with the people that are injected, as with people that have perhaps considered youth, those parents have decided it's a good idea to take a youth that is in their own issue, already confused by a society that has genders flipping left and right, and they encourage a youth to flip their gender. What happens when that youth grows up and says, this isn't who I am, but my parents screwed me up? I will tell you what, right now, we need to have empathy. And I'm saying this because it ties in with everything. At the end of the day, many people are being misled. Church leaders, Franklin Graham, on the top of my list lately, top of my list, lying to his 9.1 million followers by telling them that taking an injection is something Christ would do and that it's scriptural, that is pure nonsense. At the highest level of spiritual dirtbaggery. The most that should have ever been said is this. It is up to you to make the decision and to sort that out with God. That is the most forward he should have ever gone on that topic. Sure would like him to answer one question, though. What was his media personnel thinking when he was sitting in front of Voodoo Donuts in Portland, Oregon, smiling to everybody, sharing in one of their creepy creations? Same place that's known to traffic kids. Just saying. But that's another topic for another day. We are being shown the level of deceit in this world. And it's a time of accountability. These people are showing their hand and they're misleading their flock to do things that, quite frankly, may cause harm to the very body and soul. It is a choice of free will, made with intention. Using your free will with intention and knowledge to defy God is one thing. Being misled down this path by those that you trust, I believe that falls under the watcher of the wall. That the watcher of the wall that does not warn his people of the coming dangers, God will have the watcher's blood. That's how that kind of works out. God's spoken of this in Scripture. But while we can speak the words of caution to those that are taking it, and we should and we must, while we need to speak the truth of what is happening in our worlds, whether it's the injection, whether it's the effect of the mask, whether it's the giving into slavery, whether it's turning a blind eye to a pedophile, we have the obligation to speak truth. And in that process, that is, we're speaking truth and we're treating our neighbor as we would want to be treated. We're helping those in need and we're giving voice to the innocent. And we're living without fear. That framework is how we walk. I don't need a police officer to tell me how to do that. I don't need a congressman to tell me how to do that. God's already laid out his law. Pretty simple, pretty clean. That's what I do. And those that choose to walk away from that, to follow the lead of the clown show and the liars that are out here, luring them away like a Pied Piper, there are consequences for those decisions. But the difference between consequences doesn't mean that God will not forget or will not accept back. That's the key. Okay? They're going to live with the choices that they make. Perhaps God will heal it all. Perhaps. I don't know how God's going to handle that. Perhaps God won't. Perhaps God is just like, you know, I'm glad you came back and now your life is shortened pretty severely, so you get to live with that, but at least you've come back to me through Christ and I'll bring you home. That might be the extent of it. On the other hand, God could choose to heal all his children that come back and even heal things that we're dealing with we don't even know. The biggest thing is we have to hold the line of the path that we walk. Not to go way off script. Like one day we're here walking, God, thank you for leading me. The next day we're over here, oh, I'm so worried about who's going to fall off the cliff. Or one next day, I'm so angry because of people that took the vaccination. I need to save more people. It's like, no. Like, get your head straight. Follow the basics of the laws. Understand that every single one of us has a choice to make. That's part of the now. Understand that every single one of us had training wheels on 5 years ago. Those training wheels got yanked off on November 3rd. Gone, goodbye. You're all riding a bike on your own now. Hope you put your helmet on. If you chose not to put on your helmet and you fall and you crack your skull, can't say you didn't know. Because the one thing about President Donald J. Trump, I don't care what someone believes, thinks about him, even though I'll tell you very honestly, he's still our president, and we love him. And if you don't, and you're a liberal, your head just exploded, but that's okay. We love you too. We try anyway, even though you're very difficult, but we try. But being that our president, the only president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, the one president that got his election stolen from him by the fake pedophile Biden, that president, President Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. I think I got it all. Being that our president could not be missed by any soul on the face of this earth, that everything he said, the media highlighted to such a degree that there's not a person, I don't care where you are, I don't care if you're in the middle of Burundi, or in some little hole in Ethiopia, or maybe you're in some backwoods little spot in Australia without any internet. Maybe you're living with the Aborigines. I don't know. I guarantee one thing. There is no possible way. I don't think there's a soul on this earth, and I mean this. There's a lot of people that don't know who Putin is. There's a lot of people that have no idea who the president of the Congo is, including me, because I haven't looked it up today because they probably changed it yesterday. But I will tell you this, there is not a person on the face of this earth that doesn't know in some capacity who President Donald J. Trump is. And why is that important? Because President Donald J. Trump shook the tree of lies to expose truth. And every single person in this world knows what he was doing. Now is the big issue. It's not whether you like him. It's not whether you listen to him all the time. It's, did you pay attention to what he was showing you? Because if you're denouncing everything he's doing and following the CNN narrative that he's Orange Man Bad, which, by the way, was started by Glenn Beck, which even though I have a lot of respect for him coming back, Glenn Beck, your Cheeto thing sucked. It was stupid. It gave the left a whole bunch of fuel. Next time, Glenn, just as a, if you're listening, Glenn, just a next time suggestion, stay on the meds. It's helpful, especially in time of stress. So even though there's this entire narrative about all the evils of President Trump, the fact of the matter is there's not a person on this globe, not one, that wasn't touched at some moment by the truth train of President Trump. So if you refuse to pay attention to it, and now you're sitting here in this moment and you're going, okay, I'm going to get the injection. I'm going to save myself. It's a great thing. And you know what? Biden's saving the world, and I'm so happy that Biden's finally getting me the injection. I'm going to be like, all right. And then, of course, next week, for example, they run into Dr. Tenpenny, and they're like, huh? What? Wait. Go backwards. Did you just say that I injected something that's going to modify my DNA? I heard Bart saying something about that, but now you're a doctor and you're proving it to me. What can I do? And it's the same response, actually, always. It's brutal. It's brutal. It's this, nothing. There's nothing we can do for you except one thing. And this is the one thing that you can do if you've taken the injection. Get on your knees. And confront this issue with Christ himself. Christ lives in your heart, and repent and pray. Because it's through the power of that moment that you can heal yourself. This isn't a religious exercise, because we're not talking religion, we're talking faith. It isn't a place of going into your pastor, your preacher, and begging for them to help you. I mean, I'll tell you, if someone came to me like that, I'd be like, yeah, what do you want from me? Well, help me. I'd be like, here's a Bible. There's a cross. You got some knees. Get busy. You got a lot of talking to do to God. Have that conversation. That is tough love, but it's the love that needs to be given. Because it's only then that people take accountability for what they've done. This is the world we are now in. It's the age of accountability. We can't save the world. We can be the lanterns for those to see. We can be the light on the hill for those to follow. And in so doing, they can make the choice to walk out of the darkness. But as long as they want to live in the darkness, no matter what we do, they're not going to hear. So there's no reason to treat them ugly. It's to treat them with respect and grace, but to let them know that you're really good. God's with you. And then if you really want to add a little twist just for fun. And oh, by the way, I'm a white evangelical resistance terrorist for the United States. And I'm the reason the VAX program is not working, and damn proud of it. Thump your chest and walk away and go, woohoo! Yeah, I don't think that'll work. But it sure would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Just saying. I mean, they want to give us a title. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I am. I told you, man, if they said it was Black Evangelical Resistance, I'd be up here going, yeah, I'm a Black Evangelical Resistance. They'd be like, what? Be like, yeah, I saw the New York Times. I had a line. I self-identify as of today. Now, if they said it was a bunch of lizard heads, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be like that. I couldn't identify as a lizard head. Then I'd have to, like, find happiness in trying to pretend I was Nancy Pelosi. And, oh, man, talk about giving myself nightmares. I'd never get over it. I'd be at the VA all day long under having PTSD. What happened in Afghanistan? It wasn't Afghanistan. What do you mean? It's something I said. What happened? I self-identified as Nancy Pelosi. Guy'd probably fall off his chair and go, well, there's nothing I can do for you. There's no meds made that'll help you. Anyway, it's the strength in who we are and our belief in God that carries us. And with that, let's walk that path to always be the light. And as long as we are the light and we can take all these nonsensical things that they throw at us with a sense of humor, and we can brush it off and run around and just kind of like, whatever. Let it slide right off. And call me whatever they want. And I think all of us now are officially domestic white evangelical resistance terrorists. I'm pretty sure that's already come up. So that's all right. I'll take it with pride. Because there's no way they're putting that injection in my arm. No way in hell. At the end of the day, the only thing that I'm committed to is God. He's the one that gives the orders, not them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we come together each day to have a reflection on our world, to think deeply about our walk in faith, blessed by all that you've given us, blessed by a time in which we live. Lord, we pray that you'll give us those chances to live into that place of your law, to guide us to always be the light, to give us the grace and the temperance to confront truth in a way that, to present truth in a way that people can hear, and if they can't hear, they can witness through the works of our faith. Let us not be affected by the words that they sling. Let us find the strength in you and our love for our Savior to know that no matter what they throw at us, it doesn't change our path. It doesn't affect our demeanor. We're just going to be the light. So let us be the light, Lord, always the light, to be that lantern on the hill that they can see, to guide them out. And may we be so bright and so brilliant in what we do that we inspire the dark hearts to break free and to return to you in all the glory that you require. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's a pretty epic time to live, I'm telling you. It really is. And just so I say it, it's going to get a lot crazier out here because you're going to find the cult of the injected saved. I mean, I swear, did you get saved? Yes. What did you do? I got my injection. Wow. Did you have to get on your knees? No. I just sat in a chair. And you were saved? Oh, yeah. Saw the lights and the whole thing. They turned on that medical light over my head. I could hardly see. It was incredible. It was so bright. I had to wear glasses. And then what? I heard the angels sing. The nurse came in humming a song. It was like an angel. And in her hand, she held a needle. And she jabbed it in my arm. And I felt the power of the devil enter my soul. Yep, you sure did. And then I was sick for 2 days. You know, there's a great one right there as I close out tonight. I mean, come on, tell me something that God does to you that it makes you physically ill for 2 days. Name one. Name one, because I'm going to guarantee you can't find one. God doesn't work that way. So now the normal, this came up today, for real. Oh, yeah, well, it's pretty normal now, and when you expect it, you know, when you get the injection, it's pretty normal now that you're going to be sick for 2 days. It's like, what in the hell did you just say? That's like the most upside-down logic I've ever heard in my life. Here's something for you. When your body is sick, it usually means it's not good for you. I don't know if you figured that out. Oh, these people. Confirmation bias is unbelievable. And there's a lot of it going on. And a lot of the nurses are doing it right now. The ones that are buying into this nonsense. So like I say, you just look at them and go, oh, okay. And I'm going to have to just, this was my dad, one of his great quotes. I'm just going to have to share it because I think it's worth closing tonight. And it goes like this. It actually goes like, really like this. It's like, can I have your address? Well, why? I just want to mail you an early Christmas card because I don't think you're going to be around when real Christmas comes. But glad you took the injection. Anyway. We can send him an early Christmas gift. Get your Christmas shopping done quick. You might want to use those credit card points on here like in the next couple months. Not sure if you're going to be able to share them in December. Oh, man. Anyway. All right. That's enough of all this for tonight. Keep your head up, Patriots. Keep your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Make sure you laugh a little bit. This is the craziest time we've ever lived. Don't take life too seriously. We aren't here long enough to take it seriously. enjoy all that God gives us. And I'll tell you what, this is truly what I believe. When we can laugh at a situation like this, it isn't us mocking. It's God giving us the strength to step past the crazy and just look back on it and go, yeah, can you believe it? I actually created those two. And you're like, God, I don't know what happened. He's probably looking at us going, I don't either. But let's enjoy the show because it's pretty epic. It's like, yeah, no kidding. And guess what, Patriots? What's that, God? I've got you all front row seats. And it didn't cost you a thing. It's all part of the package. Welcome to my show. Well, thanks, God. I appreciate it. And I'm enjoying every bit of it. So keep your prayers up. God loves us. He's never going to forsake us. And he does have a sense of humor. I'll tell you what. If he starts raining popcorn instead of manna, you'll know he's here in the game like 100%. No kidding. I'd be like, what's this? Manna? It's not manna. It's popcorn. It's manna. Okay, but that says it's popcorn. Look. You know the deal. You're watching the show. Okay, it's popcorn. No, it's manna. Okay, it's manna. Popcorn. Got it. Okay, enjoy the show. You got what I'm saying. All right, remember, God's always with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins with a bucket of buttered popcorn. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. If you can get up. Don't do like I did this morning to get up at 5 a.m. and then knock your coffee grinder off on the floor and knock coffee all over the place before you had your first cup of coffee. Not a good idea. So, see you tomorrow morning, 5 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment. Raise a voice, hear it echo. Raise a voice, hear it echo. Raise a voice, hear it echo.